When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back inside the Horseshoe for a rapid reaction presented by Byers Auto, driven by Byers Auto. That's the 40-year vet, Tim May. This is Spencer Holbrook. And Tim, I've been thinking of this one for a while. You're going to have to hear it. I think you're going to like it. Badgers beat down by blacked out Buckeyes. How'd I do?
That's pretty good. Buckeyes deliver black eyes on blackout the night at against Badgers.
All right, well, whatever you want to call
it. No, that was very awful.
Whatever you want to call it, it's 52-21 Ohio State, an absolute.
I like the one I did on radio the other day, but I forgot it by now. Go ahead now.
An absolute domination by Ohio State from the first whistle. And when I say the first whistle, Tim, I mean the first whistle. Ohio State had three chunk plays, long plays, on the first drive of the game when Wisconsin deferred and gave them the ball. It was 7-0 before some of the South Blocko got full.
Yeah.
Before some people got to their seats, before the first beers were down in the stadium down here. And from there, it was just a runaway. Tanner McAllister with an interception started the route. From there, it's 14-0, and there's no turning back from there. 52-21 Ohio State in a absolute domination to begin Big Ten play, Tim.
Yes.
Just your opening thoughts from what turned out to be a celebratory night in the Horseshoe.
It was just that, and also it was Cade Stover. I mean, oh my goodness. They've split him out before, done a few things like that, but tonight, I mean, I thought it was a stroke of genius by Ryan Day and his staff to go with him split way out, and the way they got him involved in the game, and of course he catches two touchdown passes right off the bat there. Had a chance at a third one tonight, but he's kind of rewriting the books for tight ends at Ohio State, or is he? Because, like I asked Ryan Day, and he didn't quite pick up on my facetiousness, some of those catches he had tonight, or most of them, count as a catch for a tight end when he's not lined up as a tight end. He's lined up split out. He's in the slot and all these kind of different things. But the way they've found a talent and are now exploiting it in Cade Stover, it was great. In the post game, someone asked him, how many touchdowns did you score in high school? And he says, I don't remember how many. Because, you know, obviously he was Mr. Football of Ohio in 2018 out of Lexington. But that's just an example of weapons coming on board for this offense. Just every week there's a new look. Like I spent a lot of effort writing a little story about them using the I formation last week and the different things they did out of it. I don't think they lined up the I once tonight, maybe once. A
couple times.
You know where I'm going here.
Oh, yeah.
Just when you think you've got them pigeonholed, they go another direction, Ryan Day and his staff. And yeah, everything wasn't perfect, but I tell you what, it was pretty close to perfect in the first half. Even that long drive, like he pointed out, where they kicked the field goal, that ate some time, man. That ate a lot of time off the clock and stuff, and they still got points out of it. And I don't know. You can't really say a lot of, like, negative things about the way this game went. Yes, they ended up giving up 21 points. 14 of those came in the fourth quarter when it appeared that Wisconsin was bound and determined that their number one back, Braylon Allen, break 100 yards.
Yeah.
Even if it was against the backups. And they got that done. Big long touchdown run by him, obviously. But this was for three quarters, this is about a beat down as you can get a beat down in a Big Ten opener against a quality opponent.
Especially, yeah, and then you hit the nail there. Especially against a team like Wisconsin to dominate them. I was talking to somebody on the way off the field, and I said, was it as easy as it looked up there? And he said, it wasn't as hard as we thought it was going to be. They thoroughly dominated this Wisconsin team, and that's not taking away credit from Wisconsin. That's just saying that Ohio State was on a completely different level tonight. And I think you see Ohio State on a completely different level from the rest of the Big Ten so far. Obviously, there's just been one Big Ten game, and we'll see how everything plays out. But, you know, Michigan had its struggles with Maryland today. Michigan State looks like it's down. Penn State might be the next challenger to Ohio State. But this, my headline for the first thoughts column on LettermanRow.com right as the game ended was, it set the tone in the Big Ten opener, and that's exactly what you need to do. Ohio State had two guys over 100 yards rushing. Trayvon Henderson and Maya Williams both ran extremely hard in this game and both topped the 100-yard marker. Cade Stover, a tight end, you're getting him involved. You're seeing different receivers. Not to mention, this is without your top receiver in Jackson Smith and Jigba. It's without your top two cornerbacks. Just a thorough butt-kicking by Ohio State, and it all started, Tim, on that offensive side. I know the defense is going to get a lot of praise, Tanner McAllister especially, and Tommy Eichenberg. Those two are the stars of the night for the defense. But offensively, Tim, there's just not enough good things you can say about what these guys did tonight.
No, they kind of picked up where they left off against Toledo. I mean, it was a continuum. It was pretty impressive. I mean, C.J. Stroud seemed to hit a little bit of a lull late in the second quarter, middle second quarter. Came out of it, didn't hit another little bit of a lull. I mean, a couple passes he'd like to have back, including, like I said, that what could have been the third touchdown pass to Cade Stover. But with all that was when they settled for a field goal, if I remember correctly. But with all that said, I mean, you know, the interception he threw on the sideline, his first interception of the year, and as you pointed out, on his 100th attempt of the year, like he said, he wished he'd waited a little split second more to really get the depth on the receiver. I think it was Marvin Harrison Jr. just missed the depth on it. When you miss the depth on an outcut and they've got a little guy over the top, which they did a lot of that tonight on Marvin Harrison Jr., a little bracket situation, there's a good chance you're going to throw an interception there. So that was, you're going to throw one like that every now and then just because just the timing was barely off. But with that said, this offense, I've told people before this game started on 97.1 The Fan, the radio show I'm on, if you're going to key on somebody tonight, it's easy to watch the quarterback. It's easy to watch a running back. Watch number 74, Donovan Jackson. That's what I told him. I said, because that's where the game is won and lost, is up front. And on that touchdown, their first touchdown, Donovan Jackson, they ran basically a sprint draw out of the shotgun. And Cade Stover and DeJuan Jones blocked down on the right side. That was when the few times Cade Stover was lined up as an actual tight end, blocked down. Donovan Jackson pulls. Wisconsin had a guy coming in hard off the edge on that play, and he had to run around Donovan Jackson. Jackson still got a hand on him a little bit, but touchdown. I mean, this offensive line is getting it done, and it's getting better, it seems, by the game.
Yeah, Tim, that's one of the interesting things that I was going to talk about a little bit, because we're going to talk a lot about this offense because, Wisconsin's offense is a little reductive. Ohio State did play well defensively, but, it stopped the run and then, make Graham Mertz beat you. Ohio State did that, and Graham Mertz couldn't beat them. But offensively, Wisconsin was in a one-high safety on the first drive of the game, and immediately it knew that it had messed up because for most of the rest of the game, you saw Wisconsin in that two-high look, knowing that we need safety help over the top. And Ohio State said, that's fine. Last year, I don't know if this running game would have been able to say, that's fine. Let's just ground and pound our way to 52 points. This team and this bunch out here tonight did that. The offensive line set a tone. Mayan Williams set a tone. Trey Van Henderson ran extremely hard, like I said earlier in the show. Those guys, that running game for Ohio State, obviously C.J. Stroud, 5 touchdown passes. Cade Stover in the passing game, Emeka in the passing game, Marvin Harrison in the passing game. Those guys are going to get the recognition because that's more of a sexy thing to talk about. But you talk about imposing your will on a team that prides itself on physicality like Wisconsin and getting it done up front to get two guys to 100 yards rushing. That tells you that the tone of this Ohio State offense is not 2021's tone. It's just a different way of doing things, and it's a different way of taking care of business.
Yeah, absolutely. But golly, I mean, how many guys touched the ball tonight with significance? Cade Stover, Marvin Harrison Jr., Emeka Egbuka. My hand still hurt him catching that laser beam over the middle. That was a hell of a throw and a hell of a catch. And he got popped a couple of times tonight, big time, Emeka Egbuka did, and just shows his toughness, his running back kind of toughness. Julian Fleming, clearly.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Clearly, Julian Fleming is back. And the first time you're really getting to see him on an extended basis, what a treat. No wonder he was a 5-star receiver prospect coming out of high school. We got guys waving at us on parade here. But no wonder, I mean, it's amazing, not just the guys who touched the ball, but like I said, were significant in this game, the two running backs. And then Dallin Hayden went there with good mop-up duty. And, of course, C.J. Stroud. But, wow, I mean, they even gave the ball to Mitch Rossi on a regular run play, a little flip, basically wing run counter play, and to get a first down on one of those drives. I mean, it's just, I don't know. I know I keep using that word amazing. I'm just amazed by what they can get accomplished, what they can get into a game plan that looks totally different from what it looked like a week ago. It's kind of stunning on a college football level.
So Tim, I think that's enough gushing about the offense. We can do that on the Monday after.
Well, you started the gushing. I just continued it.
We've gone a little while.
They scored 56 or whatever tonight.
52. I'd love to talk about the 21.
It seemed like 56, didn't it?
Yeah. I'd love to talk about the 21, lack thereof offense, if you're talking about Wisconsin, because this Ohio State defense, Tim, I wrote about it a little bit. Maybe I was the only one that heard what Jim Knowles said as a challenge when he said that they hadn't played a complete game yet. But it kind of struck me oddly because Jim Knowles takes his players back so often. You don't really hear him issue those kind of things and say they haven't played complete yet. Wait. Tanner McAllister talked about it a little bit. They did view that as a challenge, and they knew that Jim Knowles was talking to them when he said that. And they took it on the chin, and I think they played pretty well. Tanner McAllister especially. I'm going to get into him a little bit. But Tommy Eichenberg, Steel Chambers, the Ohio State front, and their ability to contain Braylon Allen is the defensive storyline of this game.
Yeah, absolutely. Because they, like I said, Wisconsin had to go back to 10 years ago to really get a drive going in the second half, and that was against a team that had pretty much put them away already. I mean, that was a textbook 2005 drive by 2014 drive, since this game kind of turned out like that 2014 Big Ten Championship game. You know, just 7.5 minutes off. They're down. Whatever they were down at that point, and they took 7.5 minutes to score a touchdown just to show they could. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, there was kind of like throwing in the towel. Let's work on our basics, and that's exactly what they did in that drive and got it done. But you're not coming back on a team like that. But yeah, defensively, I think we've gone pretty deep into this without giving credit where credit's due. Jair Brown and J.K. Johnson starting their first games at cornerback for the Buckeyes with Denzel Burke shelved on the sideline, broke some kind of bone or something in his hand, had to get that operated on in midweek. They thought there was a good chance he could play with it all padded up, but then pain tolerance wasn't there. I mean, it's a tough thing, you know what I mean? And then, of course, Cam Brown wasn't available. We're not sure exactly what his malady is, but the bottom line is those two guys started this game at cornerback, Ohio State's Big Ten opener against Wisconsin, and it's almost like Wisconsin didn't even know it. Wisconsin never really challenged these guys. I thought the holding pass interference call on Jair Brown was ridiculous, just like Ryan Day did. Yeah. Otherwise, I thought he played exceptional tonight.
Had a couple pass breakups, yeah.
But exactly, one over the middle on a third down play, that was big time. You've got to have guys like that step up for you in situations like this. Young guys, Ryan Day said they were very confident with these guys the way they practiced, and lo and behold, you know, we've all seen corners make their first starts and not have those kind of games for Ohio State, and some guys are playing in the league right now. I was quite impressed by the way those guys played.
Yeah, and you talk about Paul Christ and the Wisconsin offense. Punting from the 1 yard line, or from the 45 yard line on 4th and 1 when you're already down 21-0, that's a cowardly punt, Paul. Go home. Then, you know, you don't take any shots on freshman cornerbacks who haven't played yet. I thought those guys played exceptionally well, but for Wisconsin not to even challenge those guys deep, Paul, go home. Wisconsin's offense was...
You don't have to get that salty.
I just thought, you know, I did expect when I saw the news about Denzel and when I saw the news about Cameron Brown, I thought, okay, we're going to see Wisconsin try to open this up a little bit, take a couple shots. They didn't do that. And so, you know, Ohio State says thank you very much, of course. You want to keep hitting your head against this brick wall that is our defensive front for 60 minutes, be our guest. That's what Ohio State said, obviously, because they continued to bottle up Braylon Allen, except for when the twos got in and Ryan Day put his second string in and Paul Christ kept his first string in. And so that's when you saw a 75-yard run by Braylon Allen.
Yeah.
And then when he tried to go to the air, Ohio State took away a tight end option, who I hope that Cundiff, I can't remember his first name, is okay.
Yeah.
That looked like a vicious hit. But Ohio State did a good job of containing him. He's a good weapon in the passing game. Ohio State did a good job on the corners. Ohio State did a good job over the middle, keeping Tanner McAllister as a free safety. Everything that Wisconsin threw at them, even if it wasn't what Wisconsin maybe should have done, Ohio State had answers for it. And that's a big difference from this time last year.
Boy, I'm not interrupting you. I'm doing a good job tonight, aren't
I? You are doing a good job. I got on my soapbox a little bit.
But
there.
You know,
I'm sorry,
like you said, like we pointed out though, it's like they didn't even challenge the corners. I mean, I'm sitting here right now and I'm stunned. But it tells you what they think. I mean, they had to know those guys weren't the same guys. They had to know those wasn't Denzel Burke and Cam Brown out there. You know, the numbers told you. But the bottom line is, it's like that just shows you what a project this rebuilding job is at Wisconsin right now. I mean, I kept telling everybody all week, and you did too, this is not the same Wisconsin as a couple of years ago. And they're trying to find themselves offensively, and they have not found themselves offensively yet. This was not the same kind of Wisconsin offensive line you're used to seeing. Yeah, I mean, I think Ohio State played great up front, but you looked at the video of them against Washington State, for example, more of a like opponent, although I wouldn't put Washington State anywhere near the category of Ohio State, and they had trouble.
Yeah.
You know, and with their offensive line. So this game kind of went down like I thought it would. What really accelerated the accelerant to it was Tanner McAllister's interception. And that was a classic. He was playing soft coverage off the man. The man runs just an out. You remember the play. And it's like Graham Mertz thought the man was going to curl. It looks like. I hope that's what he thought.
It just throws
the ball straight to Tanner McAllister. Merry Christmas, and the onslaught is on.
Tanner McAllister had a pretty big
snap. Wait a minute. That put the on in onslaught.
There you go. But Tanner McAllister, I thought it was funny, had a pretty big smile when I asked him if he thought he was going to return that for a touchdown. He said, yeah, I did. And then I turned around and saw somebody chasing me from behind, and I just had to go down. So
still, what a play. I mean, you know, we were on them about not having any turnovers, and then, boom, right out of the gate, they get one last week with Ronnie Hickman and a fumble recovery. And then tonight, right out of the gate, a big-time interception. That's what you need in a game like this. There was no doubt after the first quarter of play who was winning this game, and that's what you call your dream start for your home team.
Yeah, Ohio State was up 21-0 in the first 11 minutes of the game. The spread was covered, and the crowd was raucous in here. It was a good blackout crowd, Tim, for Ohio State 52, Wisconsin 21, and it's pretty empty in here now, but the blackout was successful. I'm a little skeptical at times of Ohio State doing the blackout just with the fans. There's a lot of scarlet to be worn. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm not interrupting you. I'm just holding my hand up because I do want to get a point in.
There's a lot of scarlet to be worn in this building, and there's a few people in scarlet, but I think the crowd did a pretty good job with the blackout, all things considered. And I thought Ohio State looked pretty good in them, even though I'm red-green colorblind and couldn't see the numbers from the press box. It was a little bit of a difficult night for me, but nobody asked, so I won't complain.
On the blackout, Buckeyes deliver knockout. That's the headline.
Well, there you go.
But the bottom line, I'm not a fan of the black uniforms, just to want to be on the record. I'm not a fan of those. Ohio State has a classic uniform. I'm not a fuddy-duddy. I like those helmets they wore, you know, way back when, where they looked like they were put under a camera and basically exploded, you know, the big stripes and stuff like that. I'm not a fuddy-duddy. I don't like the black unis because, to me, they don't shout Ohio State at all. And so I just wanted to be on the record on that before we wrapped up here.
Well, Phil Knight likes them. Ohio State likes them. And the fans seem to all like them because there's about a million knockoff black jerseys in the crowd tonight. As Ohio State absolutely dominated Wisconsin 52-21 inside the horseshoe, that is the 40-year vet, Tim May. I am just Spencer Holbrook. This is the Rapid Reaction Show, presented by Byers Auto, driven by Byers Auto. If you need an auto, go to Byers Auto. It's the best place to find a new or used car in Central Ohio. Tim, closing thoughts as we wrap up here in the Woody Hayes. In the Ohio Stadium, not the Woody Hayes.
The Buckeyes are 4-0, and they're getting better by the week. Yes, they gave up 21 points again this week. Big whoopee. 14 came in the fourth quarter when who cares. Just this defense. You know, you talk about Jim Knowles being tongue-in-cheek and whatever. This defense, 4-2-5, can it handle a team that likes to run the ball with, quote, two linebackers, end quote? Answer, yes. There were some questions answered tonight. We're all curious. The one big question still hanging over this football team, when is Jackson Smith and Jigba going to be healthy again? I said it last week, and I stand by it. Came back too soon from a hamstring, whether the hamstring injury's been exacerbated remains to be seen. I'm told, you know, there was a rumor going around about different things. I think he's just dealing with a tough situation there. If they get Jackson Smith and Jigba back, and it's not, in my opinion, pressing at this point, let him heal totally. A hamstring needs to heal totally to come back on it. That's going to be interesting. But this offense, over 250 yards rushing, over 250 passing, against a team that plays pretty good defense, that's a damn good night.
Yeah, and with Rutgers on deck, you don't need Jackson Smith and Jigba for that one. With Michigan State, that trip looking less and less intimidating as the weeks go on, Tim. I'm not sure when they'll need Jackson Smith and Jigba. But then the bye week comes, and then you've got Iowa, October 22nd, whose offense is anemic. So you start to wonder, when do you need Jackson Smith and Jigba? How long can you allow him to heal? But that's a storyline for maybe the Monday after. We'll be back in the Horseshoe on Monday afternoon, maybe Monday morning, to recap everything that we saw on the second watch. We'll probably do that at some point tomorrow, Tim. We'll probably sit down and rewatch that game.
Yeah.
Of Ohio State 52, Wisconsin 21, an absolute beatdown in the Horseshoe. Again, that's the 40-year vet, Tim May. I'm just Spencer Holbrook. This is a Rapid Reaction presented by Byers Auto. We'll see you back in the Horseshoe on Monday.